For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always love having this guy on. Dave Kallman, he is the senior legal counsel over at the Great Lakes Justice Center. Did I get it right?
Yes.
I want to say judicial. Can you change the name of the organization to Judicial Center? But that might help. No. The Great Lakes Justice Center is greatlakesjc.org. Go there and check out the website. Dave, good to see you again. How are you?
Doing great, Joe. It's always fun to be with you.
Yeah, it's fun to have you on because you're always sort of ahead of the game, and you were ahead of the game on this with Roe v. Wade being overturned, which really was changed and altered by Casey in 92. With those two cases being overturned and ruled unconstitutional, which was correct, they were unconstitutional. Abortion doesn't appear in the Constitution. Therefore, the state should have always had purview. With those being overturned, simple question, because I'm going to get back to what you warned us about a couple of months ago. But just in a very general sense, if a state has a law on the books and the law says it is illegal to have an abortion here, or you can't have an abortion after 15 weeks or whatever it happens to be, and that's now superseded by some Supreme Court ruling that's been overturned and that law was never expunged from the books, doesn't that law reapply?
Absolutely. It's still on the books and now it is in effect. And that's what's happened here in Michigan as well as a number of other states around the country. We've had a law that's been on the books for 90 years in Michigan, and it says no doctor can perform an abortion. It's a crime to do that unless it's to save the life of the mother. Now, in Michigan, we have a case, the Michigan Supreme Court ruled a number of years ago that mothers cannot be prosecuted under our abortion statute. Only the person performing the abortion can
right.
be prosecuted.
And that's the same thing here in Texas. They call it a trigger law because Texas actually passed it last year. And the law that was passed was a civil law that if you gave an abortion after 6 weeks gestation, then the person doing it could be fined up to $10,000. Now it's $100,000. And because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade and Casey, now it becomes criminal. And the person performing the abortion in Texas can be criminally prosecuted. But you're saying that this is not a new thing they did last year. This is 90 years ago in Michigan. It's always been on the books. Knowing that, Dana Nessel, your attorney general, who's a horrible attorney general, and your governor, Whitmer, they both decided that preemptively, feeling like Roe v. Wade was going to be overturned because of that leak, they started already suing prosecutors to stop them from prosecuting according to that law, right?
Right. There are actually two cases going on, Joe. The first one was Governor Whitmer sued 13 prosecutors around the state.
Before they did anything?
Before they'd done anything. And the Roe v. Wade was still on the books. And in anticipation that the case might be overturned. And so we represent two of those prosecutors, Chris Becker from Kent County and Jerry Jarzynka from Jackson County, and are fighting that lawsuit from the governor. There's a second lawsuit, though, which is the one that's really causing most of the controversy right now.
Okay.
And that was where Planned Parenthood sued the attorney general, Dana Nessel, and arguing to the court in the Court of Claims in Michigan that therefore an injunction should be entered because Michigan's constitution somehow contains a right to abortion separate from the federal right.
What?
And therefore an injunction should be issued.
Now, I was a TV news anchor in Michigan 8 years. You know this. I don't remember any law being in the Constitution or any constitutional right in Michigan that said, please go have an abortion. What are they pointing to?
Well, exactly. There isn't any. There's a case in the Court of Appeals, 1997, the Mahaffey case, where our Court of Appeals ruled that there is no constitutional right to an abortion under Michigan's Constitution. So what Planned Parenthood did was they went to the Court of Claims, which is a trial court, but it's a very limited trial court in Michigan. It only deals with lawsuits involving claims against the state, against state officials. It's not a general court of equitable jurisdiction like a circuit court would be in Michigan. So they filed there against Planned Parenthood, filed against the Attorney General, even though our AG had said, I'm never going to enforce the law.
Right.
And so they filed this lawsuit anyway, saying, well, we want an injunction to stop Dana Nessel from enforcing the criminal abortion statute, even though she has said she's not going to enforce it.
Well, Dana Nessel is on their side, isn't she, Dave?
Yeah, and they're in agreement.
Yeah.
And this whole lawsuit is fake. It's a sham, Joe. I mean, you have to have adverse parties. You have to have an actual controversy, somebody being harmed. Nobody's being harmed here. It's a purely hypothetical lawsuit. And then lo and behold, they get Judge Gleischer, who is a court of claims judge. She's also the chief judge of our Court of Appeals in Michigan.
Okay.
But she sits on this court of claims panel. And she is the same person who represented the ACLU on behalf of Planned Parenthood in the Mahaffey case I was telling you about 25 years ago.
Come on, dude.
And she argued this whole issue of Michigan having a right to abortion, and she lost. And now here we are 25 years later. She's the judge, and the three of them get together, and they enter an injunction to stop the attorney general from enforcing the criminal abortion statute. And then they try to expand it and add that it applies to our clients, the prosecutors that we represent. It's ridiculous. They're not parties to the case. They're not agents of the attorney general. They don't represent the attorney general. They have no ability to answer or do anything in that case, and yet they're claiming there's an injunction prohibiting them from enforcing the law if a case is brought to them. So our clients, we've taken the position, and I think it's the clear, legally correct position, that that injunction does not bind or bar our clients from doing anything. So if a police agency brings them a case to prosecute a doctor for doing an abortion, right now, today, prosecutors in Michigan can bring that case and bring those charges if they want to.
It is Dave Coleman. He's a senior legal counsel over at the Great Lakes JC, Great Lakes Justice Center. Go to greatlakesjc.org. Always appreciate the incredible information. So you've got sides that are on the same side suing each other to act like there are legal issues that aren't there. I've always seen courts throw out cases because there's no standing. Clearly, there's no standing at this point because, as you said, there's no argument. There's no disparity. When it comes to actually changing the law, in a place like Michigan, if you want abortion, Dana Nessel or Planned Parenthood or Gretchen Whitmer, take it to the legislature, have them write a bill, have them get it to you, and you sign it into law. That's not going to happen, though, because you've got a Republican legislature in Michigan. They know they can't do that, so they're trying to do an end around, right?
Right. And they're bringing this fake lawsuit to try to change the law, have the court rule that it's unconstitutional in a vacuum. It's a hypothetical. I mean, think about it like this, Joe. Let's say it's 5 years from now, and you have a Republican governor in Michigan with a Republican AG and a sympathetic judge. And they're sitting there one day talking and going, you know, I don't like all the gun laws in Michigan. I think we should get rid of those CCW laws and everything else.
Right.
You know what? Let's get our buddies over at the NRA to sue the AG. We'll get our judge on the case. And lo and behold, we'll make all the gun laws in Michigan unconstitutional and illegal. What do you think the left would do? They'd go nuts.
You know what the left would do, Dave? The left would do what the left is doing today with the filibuster. Because it wasn't that long ago that Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, Joe Biden all love the filibuster because the majority party in control in Washington shouldn't have the right to shut down minority voices. In fact, the founders wanted there to be an argument, and you had to at least get some people from the other side to agree with you. I posted a piece of video not an hour ago on Twitter showing Barack Obama, who was a senator from Illinois at the time, arguing about how important the filibuster was. Well, today the filibuster is somehow racist. So this is what they do all the time. If it works for them, then they're going to go for it. If it doesn't work for them, they'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll do an end around to try to get it done. So the hypothetical you just gave is for people who've got common sense and rationale. These people don't have common sense and rationale. So let me ask you this. Why would that judge be able to even hear it, knowing that she's got a severe conflict of interest? I mean, that's obvious. Even a dumb guy like me knows that the person who tried to get this done 25 years ago should not be anywhere near this case today.
You're exactly right, Joe. And that's why we filed in the Court of Appeals an action, a complaint against Judge Gleischer for superintending control, because our clients have no right to even be involved in the case that's between Planned Parenthood and Dana Nessel. If they had even tried to intervene, if we had asked the court to allow us to intervene, it would get denied because the Court of Claims only deals with state parties, the state, not local county officials. So our only recourse was to go for superintending control to the Court of Appeals, which we've done, and we filed the complaint, In fact, our final briefs are due tomorrow, and we're hoping next week we're going to get a ruling from the Court of Appeals that will overturn this improper injunction and dismiss the case outright. There's no standing. It's moot. There's no adverse parties. All those things we were talking about. Well, it should be just thrown out.
Well, good stuff, Dave. I appreciate that. Dave Coleman, Senior Legal Counsel, the Great Lakes JC, Great Lakes Justice Center. Go to greatlakesjc.org to find out all the good work that they're doing. We got to talk about this dumb case out of Washington. And I say it's dumb because, again, if you've got common sense, rationale, and logic, you know that the First Amendment doesn't only talk about not establishing through the Congress, by the way. It also talks about not being able to stop somebody from worshiping as they see fit. So you got a football coach who after the game decides to hit his knees. And because he's hitting his knees on the football field paid for by taxpayers, somehow the so-called establishment clause that doesn't have anything to do with an individual American who's got the right to worship as he sees fit, praying after a game, somehow the establishment clause means this is him forcing his religion on all the students in town, and he's bad because, Dave, this took 6 years for them to come to a sensible end, and there were still three justices that ruled against this, but thank God six said, of course he can pray after a football game. Now, you bring up something called the Lemon Test. What does that mean, and can you believe that it's taken 6 years to adjudicate this?
Well, it's unfortunate sometimes, Joe. We've had cases that have gone as long as 9-10 years before we got a good decision. I mean, it's just the wheels turn slowly sometimes. It's unfortunate. But Coach Kennedy, this isn't even a prayer where he was gathering the team together and asking them to pray or anything like this. It was his own personal, after the game, he would go out to the 50-yard line and kneel and just pray silently. And then other kids and other people from the stands and other teams would come and join. There was nothing coercive about it, nothing that would give any indication that a religion was being established.
And I've got to add this. If you decided not to take part, no problem. Nobody was punished.
That's right.
No, there was no detriment to you as a football player. You didn't have to go anywhere near the guy, or you could have joined in if you felt so. Go ahead.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. So the school ends up firing him. He loses his job over this, and the legal battle began. And so here we are, the Supreme Court finally ruled this week. We filed a brief called an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, on behalf of Darryl Green. If you might remember, he's the former NFL Hall of Famer, won a couple Super Bowls. And we represented him and filed an amicus brief in support of Coach Kennedy. And we urged the court to finally, once and for all, get rid of this Lemon Test. They've kind of hinted at it in earlier cases and have kind of, you know, done a little thing with it. But let me explain what that Lemon Test is. This is from a case, Lemon v. Kurtzman, 1971, just a couple of years before Roe v. Wade. Our U.S. Supreme Court changed what everybody understood the Establishment Clause to mean up until 1971, just meant the state can't force a religion or preference of, you know, one denomination over another.
Right.
You couldn't establish a religion. That's all it meant. You couldn't have a national church. Well, in 1971, they turned it on its head, and they changed the word establishment to now endorsement.
Oh, come on.
And this test had certain things in it, but mainly it was you had to have a secular purpose for whatever you were doing through the government auspices, and it had could have no endorsement of any religion whatsoever. It totally turned everything on its head, and then that's been the test that's been used for 50 years since then. So we filed a brief urging the court to once and for all get rid of that test. They made it up, just like in Roe v. Wade, where they made up the right to abortion. They made it up with this Lemon Test. And thankfully, the Supreme Court did just that. They buried the Lemon Test. They've abandoned it. And they've gone back to the traditional understanding of the Establishment Clause, which is you can't have a national church, a national religion. And it doesn't prohibit individuals within the government from exercising their free exercise of their religious beliefs. And as the court said in the opinion, there is not a conflict between the two, you know, clauses in the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause, the Free Exercise Clause. They are read together. They're complementary. And that's what the court restored, thankfully, this week. And we could not be happier for Coach Kennedy and that the rule of law has been reestablished. I mean, it was just a fantastic decision.
Has it been reestablished or re-endorsed, Dave? I'm just kidding. It's Dave Coleman, the senior legal counsel over the Great Lakes Justice Center. You know, what's amazing to me is that we even had to get there, because anybody who's got a brain, who's ever read the Constitution or the reason, the intent of these amendments, would know that the First Amendment was put there just to say, the religious clause was put there just to say, we can't do what King George did and force everybody to be Anglican. We can't make everybody be one religion. You could either be a religion that you want or be no religion at all, and there will be no consequences for you as an American. So basically says the Congress can't tell the entirety of the country what religion they're going to be. And it also says, and they also can't make any law that says you can't freely exercise your religion. Taking a knee at a football game to say, thank God nobody got hurt here today, is completely a right that were given by God, protected by the First Amendment. The idea that it wasn't is so foreign to me that it boggles my mind. I mean, this was actually making teachers think to themselves, maybe I can't say grace before having lunch in school because I'm now somehow forcing my religion on my students, which of course he or she wouldn't be doing, or I can't wear a crucifix or a Star of David or some Muslim symbol, which of course they can. So I love that this thing finally came through and said, no, these are not two conflicting parts of that First Amendment. They in fact say, government, get your hands off my religion. And, oh, by the way, if I'm exercising my religion, government, get out of my way. That's really what it does, right?
Absolutely, that's what it does. And this is going to have a huge impact on a case we have pending in federal court right now for a young man named David Stout, who's a football player, a public high school student, junior. And he was told he could not discuss his faith or talk about his faith at the school unless a teacher was present monitoring the conversation.
Come on.
Can you believe this? And we're in court right now over that. So I think this decision is going to be huge and will help us resolve that matter very quickly.
We had a situation a few years ago in Texas, not far from where I am, and I can't think of the name of the town. It'll come to me later. But the young lady was the valedictorian. And in accepting her valedictorian, honor, she got to speak. And she had to submit her speech to some teacher or somebody to make sure that it was acceptable. And she was thanking Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, for getting her through the 4 years. And they said, you can't say this. And when she went up there, she said it, and she got in trouble because of it. And their argument, I believe, Dave, was you can't use a public announcements as a PA system, or you can't use a microphone that was paid for by taxpayer dollars to say anything about your religion, which, of course, is not true. That doesn't make any sense. She has every right as an individual American to do so. So I hope you get the same result. I mean, we had her on the show, and we made sure everybody understood that this was wrong. I hope that you get the same result. Now, even a better result, because this lemon test, as you say, is gone. Will you keep us updated on that one?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And, people need to remember, too, it's not just Christians who have this right. Everybody has this right. If there was a Muslim and was valedictorian and they stood up and they wanted to thank Allah, they have every right to do that.
They do.
To share their faith in the public school setting and those sorts of things. It's free exercise of religion for everyone.
It's pretty simply written. Free exercise, period. Yeah. Dave, thanks a million. Keep us updated. Come on again very soon. It's Dave Coleman, GreatLakesJC.org. Go and check him out. Appreciate you, brother. Happy 4th of July coming up.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Joe. It's always a pleasure.
All right, my man. We're back after this. Stay right here.